this is a day for praying for the persecuted church. One of is used today is the word bullying. It is the action of one person doing some kind of harm to another person simply because there is something I don't like about that person. Generally, it is a stronger and bigger person doing harm to a smaller and more vulnerable person. Or in a corporate sense, it is a bigger and stronger group of people doing harm to a smaller and less powerful group of people. So that helps give us some idea or definition to what we're talking about in terms of persecution. If I'm the one being bullied, I might say, I'm being persecuted. This has been something that has happened since the beginning of time. Cain and Abel experienced that, and that was a reality of their lives as they brought sacrifices to God. And it seemed to Cain like God was more happy with Abel's sacrifice. And so what did Cain do? They went to the field together the next day, and Cain killed his brother Abel. Persecution. The church worldwide, Christians are being killed as a result of the fact that they believe in Jesus Christ and not the God of others who are stronger than they are. In our current culture, the people who do not want to take the COVID vaccine are claiming that they're being persecuted by those in authority and power to legislate choice. It can be seen as a corporate act of bullying or persecution. Today we're praying for the persecuted church. We're praying for those people who are followers of Jesus Christ and are being bullied and killed as a result of their faith and their choice to follow Jesus. What I want us to look at this morning is what it takes to overcome, what it takes to overcome the challenges of life that leave us in a place where we are being bullied or persecuted, and then commit ourselves to pray for those around the world who are being bullied and persecuted. Understand that there are many people who are willing to suffer bullying and persecution for their cause. Okay? This is something that I want to make clear this morning as I'm sharing this message. There are many people around the world in our own country who are willing to suffer persecution and bullying because of their cause. Now, that is often a personal choice that is purely selfish motivated. Just because this is what I believe. So why are you putting me down? Why are you bullying me? Many people are trying to house their personal and selfish beliefs and ideas under the umbrella of Christianity and Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Many people are trying to house their personal, selfish beliefs and ideas under the umbrella of Christianity and Jesus Christ. That is a very dangerous, evil, and ungodly place to live. I hope you hear what I'm saying. As we proceed through this morning, maybe you'll catch that, or maybe you'll feel like you need to come to me and say, Dale, I need to have you talk about that more, and all of that's okay. If we are going to claim spiritual persecution, then we need to make sure we are being persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ and his truth, and not some idea supporting our own well-being. So we come to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to move kind of verse to verse now with the ideas that are there and talk about these. Verse 1, in Romans 12. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Our bodies as a living sacrifice. What is it that God wants us to do as Christ followers? He wants us to be willing to give ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices. These people who we're praying for as the persecuted church, these missionaries from Haiti who are being held for ransom and suffering as a part, they're, in a very real sense, offering their bodies. They may be killed if our government doesn't ante up or someone doesn't ante up for them. Christians who are discovered when they're meeting together and praying and reading the scriptures may be killed. They're sacrificing their bodies for the sake of what God wants. Offer your body. Then offer your body as holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means to do what God wants, to follow what God says, to offer ourselves as holy to God. We don't talk about holiness a whole lot. It's a part of the Christian life that is very much a part of who we are as brethren in Christ, because we believe that we come to faith and salvation through Jesus Christ, but it doesn't end there. It's just a beginning. It's a beginning in which we're walking with God, in which we're growing and learning what it means to order our lives in ways that are pleasing to Him. Holiness. And that's the other part of this statement. Offer my body in a pleasing way. What does it look like for me to offer myself in a pleasing way to God? It's a deep thought. One that I want us to think about, to be implanted in our hearts and our minds for the week. Verse 2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We begin with the body. It's interesting. We begin with the body here and then go to the mind. We are body, the physical us. The mind is also us. The scripture says we need to renew our minds. We are one body, we're one mind, we're one soul. It's our mind that drives our actions and responses. You know, go back to Lyle's sharing and testimony. He thinks that what may have caused this stroke was his worrying about these things. His mind. His mind was filled with this stuff. And, you know, when we take time to read what psychologists and psychiatrists say, when we listen to what they say, and when we go to the hospital and doctors say, oh, chaplains are important here, because our minds are so much a part of our physical as well as spiritual well-being. And our minds drive our actions. And the scripture says we need to have our minds renewed. What are the patterns of this world from which we need to have our minds renewed? It's this idea, I believe, that is so prevalent in our world. I do what's right for me. Don't tell me what I should do. That's America. That's us. How many times have you thought, and we've been in conversation where we have said that it's interesting, these small segments of our culture, how much power they have. So we have these parts of our society, our America, who say, hey, you know, I have all these rights, and I believe this. You can't tell me that I can't believe the way I want to, and that I can't have the job I want to, I can't do what I want to, etc., etc. That's the mindset of the world. That's the mindset of sin, is selfishness. I want what I want, and you can't tell me otherwise. Don't tell me otherwise. God wants our minds to be renewed from that attitude and that kind of thinking to the thinking that, God, what is it that you want? I want what you want, God. I want what you want. And then as our minds are transformed, as our hearts change, we come to the place where we are in tune with God and we just want to do what God wants. And that's part of what we're talking about here. When I hear people say, don't tell me what I should do, it makes me wonder what they are saying to God when God speaks his truth to them in the Bible. Have you ever thought of that? The person who is, you know, going to stand on their platform and say, you know, this is what I believe. And then they say, I'm a Christian, but then they don't follow what God says. They don't love other people. They don't care for other people. But I'm a Christian. Kind of makes me wonder. God talks about having our minds transformed from thinking like the world thinks, which is purely selfishness, to thinking about loving and serving our God. I go back to this earlier part that I spoke about, this being careful about claiming what we think and believe to be what it is that God's saying. There are too many places and times where in our culture people are saying, this is from God, when it's not from God at all. And we need to be careful of that. God wants our minds to be transformed from my way to God's way. And overcoming faith begins with our minds, when our minds are transformed from thinking, I want it my way, to I want it God's way. Verse 9, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. How do we know what's evil and what's good? Well, God's word, the Bible, is the only way that we know where that truth is. Be very careful. We saw this video. I think all of us are old enough and educated enough to remember Nazi Germany. And what did they proclaim? We're Christians. This is what God wants, to destroy the Jews, annihilate the Jews. That's how it began. That's where it began. And earlier than that, think about the Crusades and the millions of people that were killed in the name of Jesus. It was purely evil. It was not God's truth. And overcoming faith finds a strong foundation in the truth that what we believe about God and Jesus Christ and God's truth is good and not evil. One of the basic principles of God's truth is good, not evil. Good, not evil. You and I, each one, can identify things that we see in our world that are good and things that are evil. One of the things that creates a faith that is able to conquer people who are going to persecute us and bully us is understanding and knowing what God's truth is. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Love the people around you. Love, love, love. All I need is love. And if I could sing and remember all the words, I'd probably sing that tune to us. God is love. God is love. And God calls us to love one another. Be devoted to each other in love. honor one another above ourselves. When we offer honor and love, then we listen and we seek to understand other people. And we care about what others care about. And that eliminates many, many problems in relationship to our becoming persecutors and bullies and our being the subject of those. Verse 11, never lack zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Ask yourself this question. Who am I serving with my ideas? Am I serving my own desires and well-being, or am I serving the Lord God and His ideas and truth? Who am I serving? Why am I choosing what I choose? Am I purely serving myself? In our Sunday school class this morning with the teens, you know, we were talking about life and what the kids wanted in life. And, you know, typical of all of us, well, we want money. Well, why do you want money? You know, so that we can get this and this and this. And teenagers haven't lived long enough to understand all about these things. But what it identifies is the reality that that's where we all are. We just don't talk about it quite the same way because we've lived longer and we know more about that. But the reality and the truth is that that is important to us, and often what we choose to do is what brings service to me. You know, Lyle and Molly have given in many ways in helping others and serving others. All of us have done that. We all do that. There are times when Margaret and I sit and look at ourselves and we say, are we really doing what we need to do? We recently had new flooring put in our house, and it cost us X number of dollars to do that. And we sit there and we appreciate and enjoy our flooring. It's great. Love it. And then we stop and we say, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Should we have done something else with those several thousand dollars? How do we live our lives? What do we choose? I'm just saying, guys, I'm pastor. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. But probably there are times that I serve myself more than I should. Food for thought. There's incredible inner and personal strength embedded in us when we know that we are choosing God and His truth over our own ideas and feelings. That helps us to realize that overcoming faith. Verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope. I just got my COVID update, the booster shot on Friday. You know, I go in and I'm my typical self. I'm happy and, you know, talking to everybody I can. And so I have all my paperwork done and I'm ready to go get my shot. So there are, you know, 10 people out there who are waiting to just get their needle in my arm. And so one raises their hand, okay, good, I'll go to you. And I come with my smiling self, and this person says, oh, wow, you're happy today, aren't you? So, oh, yeah, I am. I try to be happy every day like this. And then I said, yeah, you know, I'm really happy because I've got Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, this individual wasn't sure how to respond at first, but then responded. But folks, what brings you joy? What brings you happiness? Where is hope? I'm joyful in hope. Hope that this booster shot's going to help me. And guess what? The day before, they were doing flu shots, and Margaret and I have never gotten flu shots. Our doctor says, come on, you need to do this. I'm just saying that to identify the idea of hope. Where do we get our hope? Well, yeah, we have hope in that booster shot for the vaccine for COVID, but really our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in our Lord and our God. Our hope is in the one who sent his one and only Son. Our hope is in a Jesus who loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross on our behalf. And then the scripture says, be patient in affliction. Think of the video that we saw. And, you know, we've seen some movies about the Holocaust and people and the patience and the fear and the lack of faith and great faith. Be patient in affliction. I'm being bullied. I'm being persecuted. I'm willing to suffer all of this. Why? For the sake of Christ. For the sake of God and my Savior. The Wormbrants chose not to go and hide. They chose to serve, to give themselves, make themselves available for whatever came. You know, Mr. Wormbrandt said, if we don't do that, we're probably going to be separated and maybe not see each other again in this lifetime. But for the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel and their faith, they chose to be a patient in affliction and receive whatever came. You know, if it's for myself, I can easily become angry and aggressive against those who are harming me. If my cause is not the cause of Jesus Christ, if it's the cause of my own selfish will and desire, it's so easy for me to get angry with you because you aren't doing what helps me. But when it's for the sake of Christ, it's different. I'm willing to be patient. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. This can only happen when I'm truly redeemed by the power and grace of God who suffered the ultimate persecution for my salvation as he was obedient to the Father and as he loved me. Bless those who persecute you. You remember what Jesus said, don't you? They don't know what they're doing. He didn't get angry with his Father. He didn't get angry with God saying, why are you putting me through this? You don't have to do this. You can do it another way. He could have gotten angry at those people and yelled back at them, you don't understand what's going on here. You're stupid. What did he say? He said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Folks, there are times right now in Abilene, in our world, in our culture, in our society, where we need to bless those who persecute us. We need to say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. God, forgive them. How often in the past 2 years have you blessed those who thought differently than you did about COVID? We were in our men's group one morning. We're talking. And I was sharing something out of my own perspective in relationship to COVID. And I try to be very careful about that. I don't want anyone to... I don't want to put anybody down for however they feel about that. You know, it's choice. Just let it go at that. It has nothing to do, I don't think, with my salvation or my faith or my belief in Jesus Christ. But I made a statement that put down two of my brothers. It was a statement that was directly in conflict with what they felt and believed. How often in the last 2 years have we done that rather than blessed those who think differently than we do? Think about it. Verse 16, do not be proud. Do not be conceited. When I'm proud and conceited, believing that I'm better than you because of what I believe to be true, it's then that I become a bully and a persecutor. Or it's then that I whine and I cry. I'm suffering unfairly. Pride, conceit. We all have to be careful. An overcoming faith is not proud and has no conceit. An overcoming faith protects me from becoming a bully and a persecutor. And it protects me from hate and anger directed toward those who want to harm me. We're talking about an overcoming faith. We're talking about the persecuted church. We're talking about being bullied and persecuted. How do we overcome that attitude of being the persecuted or being the bullied person? Pride and conceit has a lot to do with that. Verse 17 and 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge. When we relieve ourselves of the desire to take revenge, we make it possible to love our bullier and persecutor. When we relieve ourselves of the need to take revenge against that government or that company that says, you've got to wear a mask if you're going to work here, and take revenge, when we relieve ourselves of the need to take revenge, we relieve ourselves of the need to be bullies and persecutors. An overcoming faith makes it possible to live with being bullied and persecuted by others. An overcoming faith makes it possible to live with being bullied and persecuted by others. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The example of Richard and Sabina Wurmbrandt was that of taking a proactive attitude of overcoming evil with good. I encourage us to think of ways to overcome evil with good. Think of ways to address these times in our culture and our society where we can feel like we're being persecuted. Think about ways that we can overcome that personal feeling of being persecuted with some act of goodness toward our persecutors. These people who are in these countries where they're being persecuted for their faith, where they're continuing to meet in their basements, in places where they won't be found, to celebrate their faith, these people are finding ways to offer goodness to those around them in the midst of their persecution. Richard and Sabina Wurmbrandt decided that they would stay, that they would offer goodness to those around them. They lived through the persecution. They died with the persecution, as many others did. Finally, we have the example of Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Overcoming bullying and persecution isn't easy. And I hope I have not communicated that in any way today. It's not something that's easy. It's something that's very difficult. Overcoming persecution and bullying takes a strong faith. Strong faith not in myself, not in my government, not in my bank account, but overcoming faith in my God, who has all things under his control, who doesn't need my dollars to feed the children in India, who doesn't need me to be preaching this message to you, but who is able to fulfill and care for me as a Christ follower, for you, and for our world. Yes, he uses you and me. I'm glad to be a part of that. But he doesn't need me. He's God. So we're called today to pray. To pray for persecuted Christians who are persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. But also, pray that we would be people who live for the sake of Jesus Christ and not for ourselves. God challenged me as I was sitting, reading, and preparing these words. This message isn't just for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. We are not in a place yet where the government's coming in and looking and seeing who's here and marking down our names. We in America still have the freedom to worship, to follow our Lord and our God. We have many, many, many freedoms and privileges. But folks, we need to be prepared. There are other ways and places that we are being persecuted. We are being bullied. But make sure it's for the sake of Jesus Christ and his truth, and not for some selfish whim. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's hard to know how to pray. You know the people around the world who are suffering this persecution. But Lord, I feel that we, the church in America, Christians in America, are suffering a persecution of the devil, who's trying to come and do something to us that is going to turn us away from our faith in you, and going to try to make us believe that we in and of ourselves are good and are what we need to be. Lord, I pray for the persecuted church in America, that we would have a renewal of faith, overcoming faith, a faith that is able to withstand when people attack our love of you. And oh God, may our love of you be always central, always that which is first, always that which motivates how we make our choices, how we use our money, how we use our time, how we do life. Lord, I just give us all to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to close by singing. It's number 391. Stand with me.